Well, the former federal Labor leader and minister, Simon Crean, has taken on a job to help the live animal export industry. Mr. Crean's position as chairman of the Australian Live Exporters Council was announced this week, and he addressed the industry in that role for the first time in Melbourne yesterday. Kath McAloon was there. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Cam.
What's he actually doing in this job? What's it entail?
Yeah, so he's the chair, so it heads up this group, the Australian Livestock Exporters Council, which represents about 90% of the sort of companies and players involved in the live export industry.
Be fair to say he was part of a government that's not too popular amongst many in the industry?
Yeah, it's interesting, and he spoke yesterday to a room full of people that are involved in the trade, whether they're producers or exporters. And he talked about why he took on the role, and it was interesting that he very clearly started off by saying, you know, that he was a minister in the Gillard government, which in 2011 suspended the trade. He says that he thinks that was a mistake. He thinks they did the wrong thing. And he says that in taking on this role, he almost felt an obligation to assist the industry because of the sort of devastation that it suffered because of that decision that his government made.
Oh, really? He's repaying a debt in some way. Okay. He's representing not just the cattle industry, though, is he? This is sheep.
This is broader. Yeah, it's all livestock exporters. So it covers, yeah, I mean, cattle is one of our major trades, but also sheep and, yeah, goats as well.
So did he... Obviously, he said that he feels that the government's decision was wrong, but did he put any demands or expectations on the industry as well?
He did. He said before he agreed to take on the role, he needed to be convinced that this was an industry that was prepared to face up to the problems that led to the closure of the trade back in 2011. He says he needed to be convinced that they were looking into animal welfare, that they took it seriously and that there was sort of work underway to effect a better way of ensuring that the supply chain was, you know, up to standards and that the humane treatment of animals could be assured through all stages of that supply chain. And when he was addressing the forum yesterday, he said that, you know, improving animal welfare and getting the confidence of the public will be a big priority for him in this role.
So I gather we can read into this that he thinks the industry is making those.
He does. And he said that. He said they're already, I sort of asked him, you know, what will you be doing to make sure that happens? And he says it's already underway. It's not as though I'll be starting something new. I'll just be helping the industry on the path that they're already going down to improve animal welfare.
What sort of reception did he get?
Everyone seemed really supportive. After he spoke, there was cheers in the group, and I could hear people around me saying, yeah, I was impressed with what he said. I mean, he was very frank in talking about the animal welfare issue and, you know, what an issue that has been for the live exports industry, and also very frank in, you know, we need to get the public on side. We need to convince them that we're doing everything we can to ensure that this never happens again, what happened back in 2011. So he says the industry's got a bright future, but he says it's all about sort of being profitable, but doing so in a sustainable way where you're not going to get shut down for animal welfare abuses.
We should point out that this is a meeting in southern Australia, in Melbourne. Yeah. I wonder what the reaction might have been if it was held in
some
parts
of
Queensland or the Territory.
More affected by that. Yeah.
May have been different. We won't know, will we? This appointment, the Simon Crean appointment, it's been made at an interesting time, actually. There's a class action by some beef producers that's just been announced. What's happening there?
Yeah, a class action was filed in the federal court earlier this week, and it will be open to anyone who suffered losses because of the government's suspension of live cattle exports to Indonesia back in 2011. So the lead applicant in this is Emily Brett, and she's from Waterloo Station near the West Australian and Northern Territory border. She was quite outspoken at the time. She took her family down to the Parliament House lawns, you might remember, and was a part of the protest there. Now, she's already got the backing of the NT Cattlemen's Association. A lot of other producers have sort of come out and said they'll join this class action. Also, some of the big companies as well. So the largest private cattle business, Consolidated Pastoral Company, says that they'll be seeking more than $80 million. Also, the Australian Agricultural Company has also confirmed that it's party to the action, and it says they'll be standing shoulder to shoulder with the wider industry. It could be quite large because we're also expected, I guess, to see some of the trucking companies could get involved and the exporters themselves could get involved. So it'll be really interesting, and particularly given that it's being taken against the previous government, but it's a matter that the current government will have to deal with. So, yeah.
And makes the appointment of Simon Crean even more intriguing, I think, given that's all taking place. Now, I know a fellow by the name of Don Heatley was at the meeting. Now, people may not be familiar with with him if you're not across the industry, but he was actually chairman of Meat and Livestock Australia at the time of the live export controversy. What did he have to say about the class action?
Yeah, well, he thinks a lot of producers will join the action. Interestingly, he said he thinks it won't just be producers who were directly impacted, but also sort of producers further south. So he says when the cattle from the north couldn't get on boats to Indonesia, they were put on trucks and sent south, and that depressed beef prices across the country. And he's not surprised if southern producers will also join in. He says for those who were directly affected, they're still suffering, even 3 years on, he says. And he expects that for them, joining the class action will be more, not just about the money, but it'll be about sort of seeing justice. This is what he had to say.
This hasn't gone away. People have had their financial position almost devastated. There are years and years of recovery now to take place, and so there will be an element of, you know, we do desperately need some money as compensation for this process.
What sort of figures do you think for some individual producers they could be seeking?
Oh, look, I honestly don't know that. I mean, I haven't called somebody and asked them. Maybe, you know, maybe over a beer somewhere those things may come out. But, you know, they're personal issues, I guess. But, you know, there are many people who will be, you know, not, it won't be just thousands. It will be tens, if not hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, that they have actually lost in the immediate aftermath of the suspension, and then there's just this ongoing process since where the trade struggle to get back on its feet. And you know, you don't, just because the trade is open doesn't mean to say you're making money. The trade was just almost at a standstill for such a long time, so it will be about very, very seriously large amounts of money, not just for the corporate operators who have obviously lost more, it's all relative, but even for individual property operators and owners, they will be very, very severely affected by it all.
Don Heatley, who's the former chairman of Meat and Livestock Australia, now with the Cattle Council, speaking to Kath McAloon at that gathering of the live export industry yesterday in Melbourne, where Simon Crean was officially announced as the chairman of the Australian Live Exporters Council. There'll be an interview with Simon Crean on Country Breakfast tomorrow on RN. So if you're up around 6 a.m. just after the news, you can hear that by making sure you're listening to RN.